not quite sure how to title it, a six-legged sermon or a sermon on six legs or something like that. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou love sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Stop there. You know, God's creation is simply amazing. It preaches a continual sermon about his power, glory, and majesty. I don't know if you study animals or not. A few years ago, we had the privilege of buying these big books. And if you've ever been to the Institute in Basic Life Principles, you've seen these. They're called character sketches. And there's lessons in there from animals, the animal world, and then correlate that with lessons from the Bible and experiences that people had. And that's just one of my favorite things to read, to go through. And we love to do that as a family. We even bought coloring books to go along with it so the kids can color the animal as we talk about it. Throughout the Bible, God uses animals, God uses insects, and all kinds of unique things in his kingdom to speak to man. And Job tells us we should look to the beasts of the field and the fowl of the air, because they have things that they can teach us. God used a donkey to speak to Balaam in Numbers. He used a rooster to speak to Peter in the Gospels. He used an ox to speak in Isaiah. He used, in Proverbs, over and over again, he mentions animals, and each one delivers a divine sermon for you and me. So in this passage, God is speaking to the sluggard. This refers to one who is lazy, idle, careless, sticks to nothing and brings nothing to pass. I'm not suggesting that there are any sluggards here tonight. I don't think anybody here is characterized by that. And so I'm probably preaching to the wrong group. You know, we have that tendency. You're here, so you get the message. But I do find that in my life, although I don't characterize myself as a sloth or a sluggard, there are times in my life where I like to be lazy. And so I'll let this message speak to all of us tonight. I think that if we do, we learn the lesson from the ant, not only will we be better Christians, but our church will be more effective in the cause of Christ. And if we don't look at the ant for any other reason, the Lord told us to consider the ant, to consider her and be wise. So we will do that tonight. Let me say by way of introduction that the ant is the most successful of all social insects. There are over 11,000 different kinds of ants. They live in colonies numbering from a few to over 20 million. There are approximately 1 quadrillion ants in the world today. That is a 10 followed by 15 zeros. That's a lot of little critters. That is a lot of ants. In fact, this next statement surprised me a lot. Ants are so numerous that scientists say that if all the ants in the Amazon rainforest were weighed, they would weigh 4 times more than all the other species of mammals, birds, reptiles, and amphibians living in that area combined. That's a lot of ants. Let's consider, first of all, tonight, the work of the little ant. The ant's work is a partnership. We had an ant farm at one time. Any of you ever owned one of those, an ant farm? They're amazing. Ants are just amazing to watch. They work constantly. They never quit, but their work is a work of love. I never saw two ants fight one another. I never saw an ant step on another ant. I would see ants helping each other, but I never saw an ant beat up another ant or step on another ant. They were always helpful, carrying their burdens, taking care of their injured neighbors, rescuing those who had gotten buried or had fallen into a pit. In fact, in our ant farm, it was really quite sad because they were dying off one by one. You know, ants don't live all that long. And they were just dying off one by one. And the ants that were alive would pick up their fallen comrades and they would carry them off and they would bury them. And I remember getting down to just one ant left. How lonely that guy must have been, but he still took care of the aunt that had died before him, and he just continued to work. Ants are helpful. They operate in harmony. Each has a job. Each one is important. You know, that's true about you and me as well. There is power in unity, and yet at the same time, we're individuals, and we all have an important function to do. We all have a place to play, part to play in the kingdom of God. When the driver ant is on the move, lions, elephants, and poisonous snakes all flee. I read how entire villages of people have moved to get out of their path. Some of these colonies are so large that they form a front up to a mile wide, and they just destroy everything in their path. Humans and animals don't stand a chance against these feared little ants. It's because of their unity. One ant is no big deal, but you get this colony of ants, you get this group of ants together, all going in the same direction, all with the same purpose. They're a powerful bunch. The power of the early church was the fact that they held together in unity. And you know, I think about it today. I think about all the churches, if we who believe in the basic gospel, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, and we had the basic doctrines together, if all of us churches got together and put aside, you know, the petty disagreements and the differences and stand together in the power of the Holy Spirit, the world would tremble in our presence. But we have to be willing to put those things aside, and we have to be willing to work together. We have to do that for our church too. We can all come together with the same effort and the same vision and the same focus, then we could do great things in this area. And the devil would tremble in our presence. These ants work toward a common goal: to provide for the colony and especially the queen. The ants' work is also productive. You know, the ants all have a volunteer service. No guide, the Bible tells us. No guide, no overseer, no ruler. Yet each ant works. They work together. Thousands of ants may dwell in one colony, but every single ant pulls its own weight. They work. In fact, there are soldier ants. They kill any ants who refuse to do any work. What an incentive to stay active. We can't do that in church. But we have something the ants don't have. We have pastors and we have teachers. We have evangelists. We have the Bible. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a lot of different people and different things to guide us and to oversee our work. And so we can get the job done for Jesus Christ. The ants can do it without those things. We have those things. We should be able to get the job done. But sadly, some refuse to labor. The ants labor according to their own ability. Some are storekeepers. Some are engineers. Some are nurses. Some are farmers. Some are just laborers, workers. One of the more interesting of the ants is the honeypot ant. It eats himself full of nectar and then feeds the rest of the nest. So he becomes a blessing to all. And we need to feed ourselves on the sweetness of God's word, so that when we come together, you know, we can feed each other a word of testimony, a request for a song, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, a word of blessing, a prayer over somebody. We should all come together realizing that we are coming together to edify, to build up the body of Christ. I think a lot of people really miss that. They come to church expecting to get something out of it for themselves, and there is that time when you need that. But most of the time when we come to church, we should be coming to church looking for opportunities to minister to somebody who needs ministering to, looking for a way to edify or to build up another brother or sister in Christ. You know, that gives you a whole new reason to come to church. It's exciting to come to church because, hey, I want to be used by God today. You know, I'm not just going to be sitting on a chair, sitting in a pew, listening, being a spectator to what's going on. No, I'm actively involved. I'm on the front lines. I'm involved working for the kingdom of God. That's why we come to church. That's what God wants us to do. God's work And each job in the church is important, which means that you are important. It's easy sometimes to stay home. But I want you to know that you're important. You are very important, and there's a reason why God wants you to come here. You are important to God's work, and you are important to this church. So just don't stay home because you don't feel like coming. You might be the one that God uses to minister to somebody who has a real special need. And you know what? Nobody else might even hear, we might not even hear about it. But that person you minister to knows about it, and God knows about it, and it's all important. God will use you according to your ability. As you grow, your responsibilities will grow. God has gifted and equipped you for some type of work in the body of Christ. Now, these little ants, they can't build a cathedral, but they can build anthills. And if you've ever smashed an anthill, you can be certain that they're going to rebuild that anthill. But that is what God designed them to do. Just build anthills. You know, all that God is asking you to do is whatever He has given you in the way of talents and abilities. He's not asking any more out of you than that. But He is requiring that you use the talent and that you use the ability He has given. And often the saying is true, the greatest ability is availability. Just to be available. I remember as I was growing up, you know, it seemed like the people that God was using to give the message in tongues or a manifestation of the Spirit of some sort were the people that I thought, you know, were not the most holy people in the church. And then, I don't know if it dawned on me, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, or somebody just made some sense to me. But anyway, I got to realize that those were the people that were simply available. God will use whoever is available. He might not necessarily use the most gifted. He wants to, but He might not necessarily use the most gifted, but He is going to use the person that's available. The person who will say, Lord, I'll do it. I'll speak that word for you. I'll give that blessing for you. I'll say that prayer for you. Just being available. The majority of the workers in the anthill are female. The same is true in the church. You know, you take the women out of our church and we're in big trouble. We wouldn't get too far. But thank the Lord we have men in our church, and we need more to step to the plate and take a swing for Jesus. And the ants' work is continual. It's all day. They work all the time. You should get yourself an anthill or an ant farm. You know, no pay, no promotion, no thanks, no pats on the back, yet they get the job done. And I never saw any of those ants get mad and sit down and go on strike. Never quit. They just work. Work, 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 work. Believers ought to work. Destroy an anthill with your foot, they immediately start rebuilding it. You know, I'm bringing this message to you partly because I am trying to instill in your heart that when we get to our new building, we are going to need a lot more workers. I don't know if you really understand that. We do. We are going to need a lot more workers, and so we are going to need many more volunteers. And we are going to need people to step to the plate. And as I've been before God, and someday soon, hopefully, I'm sure a vision that God has given me of what He wants to accomplish. But as I look at it right now, I say, Lord, we don't have enough workers for that. We honestly don't have enough people to be able to do what I think that You want us to do. And it's like God spoke to me and said, yeah, we do. We have enough workers. But we just need to get more people involved. So I'm laying the challenge. I'm laying the groundwork now. All right? And I know that you here tonight, our workers are ready. And I thank you for that, and I appreciate that. Help me in enlisting other people to do the work of the kingdom, because we need them. There's a great harvest field out here in Wilson, in this area. people need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm excited about some of the things that God has laid on my heart. But it's going to take workers. Are you willing to be one? Are you willing to work? An old farmer said he was sitting on a stump at the edge of his field, and a tourist saw him and stopped to speak to him. "How are things going?" asked the tourist. "Oh, tolerable," answered the farmer. "I had some trees to cut down, but a cyclone came along and saved me the trouble." "That's amazing," said the tourist. "Yes, the lightning set fire to the pile of trees and saved me the trouble of burning them up." "Wonderful," exclaimed the tourist. And then he asked the farmer, "And now what are you going to do?" The farmer stretched, spit a stream of tobacco juice, and said, "Nothing much. I'm just waiting for an earthquake to come along and shake my taters out of the ground." Point of the story is we just can't wait for things to happen. We have to get busy doing things for God, and then God blesses our efforts. That's the way I think it goes. God sees our heart. God knows we want to work for Him. And God sees that as we take the initiative, then He blesses that initiative, and things begin to happen. Initiative is a word that we preach to our kids, knowing and doing what needs to be done before you are asked to do it. That's what initiative is. Look around. We need people to take initiative. We need people to look around and know what needs to be done and do it. If you need to get clearance, fine. But if it's something that you think you could just go ahead and do and it's going to be a blessing, do it. Use some initiative. And God will bless you for it. I'm so glad tonight that God used initiative. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only begotten Son. You know, our salvation was all in the initiative of God. We had done nothing to ask for salvation. We were enemies of Christ. We were alienated from God. But God saw that we needed a Savior, and so He took the initiative and He sent His Son to die on the cross for our sins. Initiative. Indifference and ease are the cause. Some people just don't care that there is a great work to be done. Many who do not work criticize those who do. Many are shirkers and not workers. They tell us that 10 or 20% of the people do all the work in the church. That leaves 80% who don't do anything. Then the ant's work is persistent. The ant's motto might be Philippians 3:13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." Do you know that it is impossible to stop an ant when there is food around? You don't believe me? Go home tonight and pour some sugar on your counter. Where do those ants come from? That one little ant will find that sugar, and he'll go back and he'll tell all of his buddies. He'll tell everybody else in his colony, and pretty soon he's bringing hundreds with him. And there they are, feasting on the sugar on your counter. You know, to me, that's a great lesson. We who have tasted and found that the Lord is good need to go back to the colony, need to go back to people in the world and tell others about Him. You know, after all, believers are merely one beggar telling other beggars where they can find the bread of life. The ant keeps going in times of danger. The average Christian sees the danger and says, "We can't do that. We can't do that. That's impossible. We can't do that." That "we can't" mentality cost the Israelites 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. What could it cost you? You know, the word "can't" is not a part of the Christian's vocabulary, because you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you. And then we are moving under the power of the Spirit. The ant is motivated by hunger. We have actually a greater motivation, the Spirit of God. Nothing should be able to stop us if we are in God's will. There is a kind of ant known as the shining slave maker. These ants steal. I looked this up in the dictionary, and I'm still not sure of the correct way to pronounce it, because I found different ways. Pupa? Pupae? You know what I'm talking about? All right? So they steal this, and then they bring it back to their own colony. And when this pupa or pupae hatches, they think that this is their own colony, and they embark on a life of service to their new masters. They become slaves to the shining slave maker. Now, the slave makers themselves can fight well, but they have become accustomed to a life of ease. They have degenerated to a point where they cannot even feed themselves. In fact, you could put them in a jar filled with food and they would starve to death. But if you put one of these regular worker ants in there, he would feed all of them, take care of all their needs. We have to become aware that we don't become accustomed to a life of leisure and ease. It's so easy, especially as you move on in the Christian life. You know, I've grown far enough. I know enough to get by. I know enough. I don't. Why do I need to keep reading my Bible? Why do I need to keep praying? You know, and just become at ease. And the Bible warns us, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. After all, you know, this is no game that we are in. This is a warfare. You can never let down your guard. You can never be at ease. Beware, if any man thinks he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. We cannot let down our guard for one moment. The enemy, he's watching, and he's quick to take advantage of any opportunity that we might give him. And you know the old saying, it's true, if you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You give him a piece of ground, he's not content with that piece of ground, he wants more. And so we need to be on guard. The ant's work has purpose. Nothing can change the ant's priorities. Believers need the same resolve. We need to purpose in our hearts that nothing short of the death or rapture will turn us away from working for him. We need resolve in our praying, in our giving, in our working, in our witnessing. And then for a few minutes, let's just look at the wisdom of the ant, the little ant. They make provisions for this life. You know, many anthills are organized like modern cities are. There are streets, supply rooms, hatcheries, and barracks. People should be wise and prepare for today. But our greatest need is for a close, spirit-filled walk with God. We need him more than we need anything else in this world. We think that we have needs, but what we really need is more of him. More of him that we can get through studying God's word, from prayer, from communion with the Spirit. You know, many of the things we think we need, we really don't need. But what we do really need is him. And then ants make preparations for the future. They store all they can while they can. Grasshoppers, they make no preparations, and when winter comes, they die. Ants, on the other hand, believe in winter, and by instinct, they prepare for it. People prepare for this life. They prepare by keeping savings accounts, by having insurance, by saving for retirement. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with those things. But what about death? Are we prepared for that? Are we prepared to stand before God? Many people today believe in life after death, but amazingly, they never do anything about it. It seems to me that if you believed in life after death, you would want to make sure you knew where you're going after you die. But there are many people out there, they just don't know. How can you know where you will spend your eternity, in heaven or hell? You can't know. That's what some people think. You just can't know. You won't know until you die. But we can know. And God has made a way for us. And the way is through Jesus, of course. To stand before God. Jesus said that we need to work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. If you're going to do anything for Jesus, the time to do it is now. If you are going to pray, preach, witness, shout, visit, make things right with another brother or sister, anything at all, the time to do that is right now. I would like to think that we are at least as wise as the ant. Let's ask a few questions. You don't have to answer these out loud, but answer these questions to yourself. Let's find out if we're as wise as the ant. Number one, have I made preparations for the future? Am I saved and ready to meet Jesus? Number two, have I gathered all the provisions I need to walk for God today? I do this by spending time in prayer, reading my Bible, fellowshipping with God and other believers. Number three, am I in fellowship with the rest of my members of this church, with the rest of the members of this church? Number four, am I doing the job Jesus saved me to do? And number five, am I laboring for Jesus, knowing the darkness is swiftly approaching? Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed? Now, that is the story of the ant. Hopefully tonight we've learned a little bit about him and also a little bit about wisdom. Let me read to you those questions again while you're meditating and allowing the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Have you made preparations for the future? I believe everyone here has. I hope so, that you're saved, you're ready to meet Jesus. How about every day do you gather up those provisions you need to walk for God? Are you consistently spending time in prayer, Bible reading, or study? How are your relationships? Are you doing the job Jesus saved you to do? You know, sometimes we need to think back on that. God has called us. Jesus has called us. And yet we sometimes get sidetracked from that which he has called us to do, from that which is really important. If you're a parent here, he's called you to be a parent. He has many life callings. And are you laboring for Jesus, aware that the darkness is swiftly approaching? If you're like me with the time change, darkness comes much quicker than I realize now. Came a lot faster tonight. Caught me by surprise. Spiritually speaking, don't let that happen. Don't let the darkness catch you by surprise. Don't think that there's a lot of daylight left, because I don't think that there is. How many here tonight would say, Pastor, would you just pray for me that I could be at least as wise as the ant? Can I see your hand? Amen. Lord, I thank you tonight for all of your creatures as they give us wisdom into life. I pray, Lord, tonight that each of us would be at least as wise as the ant. Lord, that each of us will find ourselves someday in your presence for all of eternity. I pray, Lord, that you would help us make our preparations. You would remind us each day to spend some time in prayer, to spend some time in Bible study. Lord, that we would also have times of meditating on your word, that we would have times of witnessing and speaking for you. I pray, Lord, that you would help us all to do the job that you have sent us to do, that at the end of our life, we could say, like Jesus said, it's finished. I have done what you have called me to do. And if there is anybody here tonight that's still not quite sure what that job is, and sure not quite sure of your callings for their life, Lord, I pray that you would help them to see those callings and to understand them. And then, Lord, I pray for a sense of urgency. We would realize that the day will soon be over and it will be nighttime, and the opportunities to work and to labor for you will be all finished. Help us to do our part now. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.